impossible. And sometimes you look like your Job, wondering, where is the God of the impossible? But he is here. Amen? He is here. And the breakthrough is coming. How many is ready for the word this morning? I just thought I would need to read you this. There's a little ad in the paper. It said, a single black female seeks male companionship. Ethnicity, unimportant. I'm a very good-looking girl who loves to play. I love long walks in the woods, riding on your pickup truck, hunting, camping, and fishing trips. Cozy winter nights, lying by the fire. Candlelight dinners will have me eating out of your hand. Rub me the right way and watch me respond. I'll be at the front door when you get home from your work, wearing only what nature gave me. Kiss me and I'm yours. Call 448-756-420 and ask for Daisy. Over 15,000 men found themselves talking to the Atlanta Humane Society about an 8-week-old black Labrador. How many have heard that before? It just tells you how much people are in need for some love. Being filled with the Spirit. How many were here last Sunday? How many was touched by the Spirit last Sunday? I tried to interview people that I saw at the altar, and many came and said, Hans, I was skeptical until I experienced it myself. And he said, I couldn't explain what happened. It just felt amazing. How many was one of you that said that? Amen. And so the Holy Spirit was touching people in a certain special ways. I'm not saying that's the only way. That's just one of the ways that obviously God touched hearts. Amen. So today I want to read you the scripture out of Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about being filled with the Spirit. Let's read it together, shall we? Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you're not filled with the Spirit, what are you filled of? If you're not filled with the Spirit, what are you full of? If you're not filled with the Spirit, what are you full of? I was going to say bull, but I'm not. I don't mean that in a. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we're full of the flesh. Here it compares being filled with wine and being filled with the Spirit. What is it about wine and the Spirit? When you're full of this wine, in my old days, I have to look back when I used to have too much of it. Your inhibitions are gone, right? It controls your mind. It controls you. So why is he comparing wine with the Spirit? Because when the Holy Spirit comes on you, there's also a sense that now God of heaven is deposited peace of him in you. And he too, as you yield to him, begins to control you in a wonderful way. There's no hangovers when you're filled with the Spirit. And out of you bubbles something that's called a song of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And there comes a thankfulness. And if you read the next scripture, we don't have it on there, but it says submit to one another. There is something coming out of you that is glorious and freeing, and it's the Spirit of God that actually begins to lead you and begins to transform how you look at people and how you look at God. Amen. How many likes to have some more of the Holy Spirit? How many likes to be filled up to the overflowing? Then when you talk to somebody When I talk to Danica, I just can't help but praising God and saying, Danica, Jesus is just amazing. I just want to let you know that. How many likes to have that kind of things coming up? So, of course, the question is how? And what hinders me from being filled? You know, here's a container. And that container cannot be full. Why can it not be filled? There's a lid. It's got to get off. Now, my illustration is not complete because I was going to have it full of something, okay? Now, if you've had full of something, no matter how much you pour into it, it can't fill it up, right? You got to empty it first. So, how do I open my heart? And how do I empty me? Jesus came, the Son of God came, and the Bible says he emptied himself. And the Holy Spirit filled him up. Amen? And what happens when he got filled up? He began to see people differently. He began to see the leper as somebody in need of a touch from heaven. Even though the leper was rejected and it was forbidden to touch the leper, Jesus had no problem because he saw that leper differently than the world. When he saw the woman caught in adultery, he didn't stone her as the law demanded. Instead, he saw her as in need of mercy and grace. When the woman came crying out, weeping and wiping his feet, he saw how much God had forgiven her. He didn't judge her. He didn't reject her. He accepted her. A woman at the Samaritan well who was longing for love and had 5 men in her life, Jesus didn't judge her for her sin. He revealed to her the truth of the amazing God of Jesus Christ and led her to acceptance. And he saw in her an evangelist. Out of rejection, out of ashes, he brought a woman who evangelizes her own village. Jesus saw things differently when he was filled with the Spirit. But let me just talk a few minutes about the things that hinders the Spirit of being filled with the Spirit that you and I, we have to deal with. In Romans 8, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And in Jesus says this in Mark chapter 8, and I'll get there. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Can we just read that together? For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. So there it talks about those who want to hang on to their soulish life, their emotional life, they will lose it. But those who are willing to let it go, they will find it. So let me explain this. If you're an addict, I was an addict. I smoked. How many has ever been stuck with smoking? You know what happens when you try to quit smoking. Your soul cries, no. Your flesh says, I need that smoke or I will die. How many remember that voice? Remember that struggle? And my friends, that's what he's talking about. The flesh demands discomfort. So why are you addicted? Because the addictions bring some comfort to your soul. They bring some peace and it brings some tranquility. You know, the drink or the drugs or the whatever, it has an effect on you that you like. And often it replaces something that was broken in you. And you hang on to it. And then when I go on to you and say, you got to stop drinking, your soul says, no way. The flesh rises up and said, if I quit drinking, I'm going to die. But Jesus says, that's a lie. When I stopped smoking, I did not die. He says, it's a lie. You will actually find freedom and hope if you let it go. So let me go a little further with the same understanding of the flesh. When there's fear, there is flesh. When there is fear, there is flesh. I can choose to look at the people who are not here today and the things that's not here today, and fear can rise up. And when fear rises up, it is not the Spirit. It's not the Spirit. When I fear rises up, I'm saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't believe you actually love me. Fear, my friends, it's a sign this is not God leading you. What happens when we fear? We trying to get control of the situation and trying to fix it. And when we fix it, it's frequently in our strength, in our power, not in the Spirit. That's why when I have fear in my heart, I know instantly it's not God. It is my eyes looking at the storm, not on Jesus. Peter was good walking on the water, remember? But when he looked at the waves, he was no longer walking on them with the power of the Spirit, but he was walking by the power of fear. And he began to drown. So the flesh rising up in fear, my friends, is hindering you from walking and receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me go a little further. How many has children? How many had children? When you discipline children, what happens? Sometimes you do it in the flesh. That little kid of mine, he just lied to me. He just gave me an attitude. And now I'm going to give him what for. And out comes the wrath. And you just want to slap him and give him and tell him you're no good for nothing, kid. How many's ever lost it sometimes? One person. How many knows that when you lose it, you're not in the Spirit? The Bible tells us, do not exasperate your children. So discipline is not wrath. This is judgment. This is punishment. So when you're in the Spirit and you say to your child, I love you, honey, but what you just did lied to me is not acceptable, and here are the consequences. When you can cool off and do it like that, it's in the Spirit, because Spirit always brings love and redemption, never condemnation. I just thought I'd put that in there for your parents, grandparents. Amen. One more thing I want to say about the flesh. When you have low self-esteem, and many of us do, we tend to look in the mirror and say, I'm not good enough. I'll never measure up. I'm a failure. Look at my nose. I look ugly. Look at my gray hair, my gray beard. I mean, I'm getting old. You have an internal voice that puts you down. That internal voice is not of God. It is of the flesh. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes and says to me, I'm not giving you a spirit of rejection. I've given you a spirit of acceptance. And he puts it that you're not being in bondage to fear, but being given a spirit of adoption, bearing witness with your spirit that you are a son and a daughter of God. When the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know who you are in Christ. You are not in your past. You're not living in shame. You're not living in guilt. You're living as a son and a daughter of God. When you're filled with the Spirit, you know who you are. You know who you are in the eyes of God. But let me go further. There is people who may not have low self-esteem, but they have confidence in their flesh. Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If somebody else thinks they have reason for to put confidence in their flesh, I have even more, he said. Circumcised on the eighth day, a people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, he's zealous, persecuting the church for righteousness based on the law, faultless, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider lost. He's saying, I have done all this. I'm a pretty good guy. You know what? I have followed the law. I have degrees. I have pedigrees. I have obeyed everything that they told me to do. And I am a very good guy. Just listen to me. And you know what Paul says in the end of that? It's all for nothing. It's all for nothing. People living with high self-esteem can also live in the flesh, as well as those with low self-esteem. Because their identity is in their skills and abilities, and in their giftings, in their faithfulness, in the things that is all about them. But my friends, when you're in the Spirit, your identity is not in your abilities and your giftings and your works. It is in who God says who you are. You are a son of God who is a container, who is a temple to be filled with the presence of the living God. And he says to you, now I fill you up, and then I send you. He says to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How many of you heard that? But, he said, before you go, go to Jerusalem and wait upon the promise that the Father is going to give you. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Wait. My friends, when I come here on Tuesday nights and spend an hour in worship, I feel filled. How many comes on Tuesday nights and after worshiping for an hour, they feel filled? When I come in Sunday morning and I worship and I dance with the kids on the front, I feel filled. When I spend in the morning and I open my Bible and I begin to meditate and talk to my God, I feel filled. The disciples waited for 10 days, not knowing what's going to happen and when it's going to happen, just knowing there was a promise of the Holy Spirit coming. And Jesus had prepared their hearts to cry out for the gift. And when it came, they were transformed forever. However, that does not mean that they're not continuously having to be filled. Even the disciples had to be continuously filled. And so do you. So how, hands, do I get filled with the Spirit? How do I get overflowing so that there's psalms, hymns, and praising coming out of my mouth? That it's not led by fear. So when I look at people, I don't look at all that's wrong with them. I don't look at what's wrong with your kids or your wife or your neighbor. You don't come to church and says, I'm going to sit over here because I'm not going to talk to that person over there. How do you get filled so that when you see that person sitting over there, you see them as, even though if they don't like you, you see them as a child of God, created in the image of God, whom God loves even more than you ever love. You see not the offense or the pain. You see the promise of God in their life. How do you get filled like that? Do you know what happens when the disciples get filled? Their heart expanded. And they began to see that people are lost and in need of an encounter with Jesus. Can I just wake up your church this morning and say, my friend, when you're filled with the Spirit, you are woken up to see the lostness of people. When I have Alpha, it is simply because we can then invite people to come to encounter Jesus on their own. But how do I get filled? Peter, who was filled with fear and had run away from Jesus and denied Jesus 3 times, now was filled with the Spirit and he began to preach and declare. And he said, this man whom you crucified. There was thousands of people because it was Pentecost and they had come from all over the world and they come to celebrate at the temple. And Peter stood up and said, him you crucified. What does he mean by that? Well, you see, when Jesus was crucified, Pilate gave him a choice. You can either release Jesus or Barabbas. Make your choice. Pick the one. And they said, crucify him. Crucify him. And so now Peter's saying, him you crucified. God made the Messiah and the Lord. And they were cut to heart. The Holy Spirit cuts us, convicts us. And he said, now, what must I do? I must do what? And Peter said, you must repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And the gifts of the Spirit is yours. So how do I get filled with the Spirit? I repent. And I surrender. I repent. I repent for every time that I walked out in the flesh and not in the Spirit. I repent when I allowed fear to grab my heart and not faith. I repent when I lost it in frustration, trying to fix it. And no, it's not God leading, it was my flesh leading. I repent. And I do what it says in Romans 12, I surrender. Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him, as an act of worship. Jesus says, I didn't come to please me. I came to please him who sent me. When you have the Holy Spirit and you yield to the Holy Spirit, it's not about you. It's about him who sent the Holy Spirit. It's about following God. Jesus says in the garden, when his flesh was rising up in fear because he knew what was coming, when they were going to nail him to the cross and when he's going to feel the absence of God, and he says, Father, please take this cup away. It was a human cry. Take this pain. However, he says, not my will, but your will be done. And by that, he said, I am not going to let the flesh cause me to run away from what God called me to do. And when you want to be filled with the Spirit, that ought to be a prayer. God, not my will, but your will be done. You will, Lord, not my will. Are you okay? How many is ready to be filled with more of his Spirit? So, Jesus came in body. And then before he left, he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send you the Paraclete. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when I send the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to do even greater things than I was did. And this is what happens. There is places that Jesus cannot go in the body because he can only be in one place. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he's saying to you, there's places I want to go today. And I can go there because my Spirit is in you, and you go there. There's people in church today who really need you to go there today, to them. And give them a hug and tell them God has not abandoned you. There's people on the streets of Neighbor Creek who needs to hear that there is a God who loves them. And you know how they're going to hear it? Because you are led by the Spirit. I had a young man come to me probably a couple of years ago. And he was drugged out and desperate. And I said, okay, well, I can't help you, but Jesus can help you. I gave him a little spiel, and I prayed for him, and I thought he accepted Jesus. But a couple of days later, I saw him, and he gave me the finger. So, so you're thinking, well, that was surely a waste. How many have that? You went and ministered to somebody, and that was... They didn't respond. Well, he responded all right, but definitely not in the Spirit. And whenever I saw him again, he looked the other way. He never looked at me. So I thought it was a lost cause. Then I got a call from his mother just 3 weeks ago and said, Doris knows exactly what I'm talking about. He said, my son wants to go to Teen Challenge. Your son? Honestly, it was not faith coming to me. It was your son? Are you talking about the same guy? He said, yes. So I said, well, I like to talk to him. So he came. He said, Hans, I want to go to a place where I can learn about Jesus. And I can get my mind straightened out. I thought, wow. Bless you. And I helped him get to Ching Chow's. Last week I got a phone call from the same guy. He said, Hans, I have never felt so good. I'm learning every day about Jesus. I said, do you get some church? He said, I get church every day. And I opened the Bible, and they teach me how to read the Bible. He said, Hans, I have never felt so much hope in my life. I was addicted since I was 10 years old, and I struggled. I'm saying that because the Holy Spirit is getting hold of this boy. And even though I gave up on this young man, God did not give up on that young man. And there is people in this community that's just as broken. And they're just waiting for somebody like you to come and say, God loves you. And my friends, I don't care how young you are, how old you are. The Holy Spirit in you can use you. I talked to Renee yesterday, and she said, you go to AA or, what's it, AA or, I don't know. And there's a lot of people who are angry at God. They're angry because they were hurt in church. And they were told that this God is an angry God. But when you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you have a God who is not angry. A God who's love and joy and peace, and he's full of mercy. Where you go, God goes. And the Bible says, blessed are the feet that are fitted with the gospel of good news. How many are fitted with good news? There is 6 or 7 or sometimes 5 ladies coming on Tuesday morning to coffee. I don't know if many of those coming, Cindy, are believers. I don't think they are. Have no contact with church, but they come to drink coffee. Just coffee. Do you know what's going to happen? One of these days, one of them is going to say, pray for me. They may be able to, they may actually be open to come for an alpha or a parenting class. But there is bridges being built because somebody is willing to be led by the Spirit. My friends, when you ask the Holy Spirit in you, it becomes not about you. It becomes about His kingdom. It becomes about a lost world that God wants to reach. Can I wake the church this morning and says, He wants to fill you with His purpose and His call. And I know what it means to sit here and listen to sermons, have a little nap once in a while, thinking that, you know, it's like pretty good preaching, but in a few minutes I'm going to go eat lunch. And then there's life tomorrow. The bill is to pay. But God doesn't want us just to go through the motions. He doesn't want us to just live life as we always lived it. He wants us to live a life in the Spirit, in relationship to Him. And sometimes it means getting up and saying yes to Jesus. I want all that you have. Do you know what Paul said? He says, I consider all the things I've done in the past. I consider all my pedigrees. I think all my degrees and assignments and all the good things, I consider all a loss compared to knowing Christ Jesus. Forget about the past and press on to take hold of all that God has for me. And if you're still breathing, you can do that. My whole sermon is just to stir you up, to ask for all that He has for you. And surrender your heart to be willing not to live in fear of the flesh, but to live in what God says about you. Are you okay? Can I ask Renee for... How many appreciate Renee's worship this morning? Thank you, Jesus. So let us stand. What do I do with that tormenting flesh sometimes? I repent. I tell Jesus my struggles. Yes, God, sometimes I have fear of tomorrow. Yes, God, sometimes I have worries. And I recognize that it's not you, Lord. That it is me having my eyes on the things of the world and not on you, God. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God, when I have taken pride in myself and my own abilities and my own strength and my own goodness, my own character, God, and rather than taking and fixing my eyes upon what you say about me. Forgive me, God, when I tear down myself and I build myself, I torment myself with saying that I'm not good enough, I'll never measure up, I'll never be good enough mom, I will never be good enough follower Jesus. I'm ugly, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, people don't like me. Forgive me, God, for all these thoughts, God, because I don't believe that is from you, God. And Lord, would you open my heart today to say yes to you? And say, God, I'm willing to be led by you to go into the broken world and bring good news. To go where you send me. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. I didn't come to please myself. I came to please the one who has sent me. If that's you in the church today, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. I'm going to invite you to come and say yes to you, Jesus. I want to be filled with you, Holy Spirit. And I repent of anything that has allowed me to follow the flesh rather than you. So I'm just going to invite you to come. And sometimes it takes a physical step to demonstrate to God I'm serious. I don't care what people think of me. I don't care what anyone thinks. I want everything that you have for me. So I'm going to invite you to come. And don't do it for me, and don't do it to please me. Do it because in your heart of hearts, that's what you want. God responds to hunger and willingness. He responds to thirst.
On Sunday, when the invitation was given to come, I came because I often come to the altar looking for those who are hurting and broken and want to pray for them. But I responded to the call to come and get filled. What Pastor Hans is saying is so right. We can't go out into the highways and byways and heal the brokenhearted if we are brokenhearted. We need to be filled with the full measure of the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, so that we can heal the sick and open the blind eyes and make the deaf to hear again. There's so many people in our community whose ears are closed and their eyes are closed and they don't see or hear. And when I sat here, when I got slain in the spirit, God was speaking to me. I was in a hurry to get up and go pray for all the hurting and the broken as always. And he said, no. Just sit here at my feet and let me fill you. It's me that can heal those people, not you, Marlene. Just sit here at my feet and receive the full measure. And every time I tried to get up, I couldn't stop it. I got slain again because God is not finished with me or any of us. None of us have arrived. We all come to church hurting and broken. But we all leave here born again. We're saints. We're no longer sinners. We're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's love one another and let's change this community. Let's claim it back for Christ. Let's live with that power. But first we have to go to him and we have to read his word and we have to spend time with him. We can't let Pastor Hans keep going up on the mountain. We got to do the work and go up on the mountain ourselves. I bless Pastor Hans for this word today. Yeah, maybe he did take a risk inviting Pastor Rudy last week. But we need to take more risks. We need to step out and say, God, I'm here. Use me. But first fill me with you so it's not me. So it's you. He's the only one that can use us and speak through us. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. I'm sorry for anything I've carried. Please forgive me. Repenting is the only way. It's the only way. We can't be filled up if we have a heart full of jealousy and anger and bitterness and judgment. We're all just walking each other home. Let's be filled up with the full measure of all he has for us today. Let's not leave till we're full. Bless you in Jesus' name.
Yeah, guys.